Hey man, say man, amen, say man. Welcome back to the Casual Hoops Show. Today, Ville, we're discussing the game ones of the season. We had the Celtics versus 76ers, and then we had the Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors, the defending champion Golden State Warriors. But I want y'all to let me know down below. Let me know in the comments. Let me know on social media. Let me know what y'all think about the game ones. Y'all ready for NBA season to be back? I know, I'm sure I am. I stopped everything. I stopped doing everything around like 7:37. Yeah, about 7, 6:37. Ready to have my popcorn ready to watch these games. First game was good. Second game, we had his moments, but the Warriors handily won that game. We're going to start with the first game first. So, Celtics versus 76. Some of my key takeaway I noticed at the game just to begin with was Embiid drop defense looks awful. I'm sure he's probably not in shape, but his effort looked awful. Looked terrible. It's disgusting to watch. James Harden defense looked awful. Tyrese Maxey should have got involved in offense more. Doc rotation still weird, but I mean, it's the first game of the season. I'm not really too hard on his rotation in the first game of the season, trying things out. De'Anthony Melton looked at decent. Daniel House really didn't do anything special because Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum still went crazy. The Celtics big man depth is kind of weak. Noah Vonleh got in foul trouble early. Al Horford got in foul trouble early. Grant Williams got in foul trouble. They still won somehow, even though Grant Williams put out his mind. 76, I said James Harden defense weak. Tyrese Maxey got involved more. Tobias Harris still just, I feel like sometimes he's aggressive, sometimes he's not. His role is still weird on that team. PJ Tucker just stood in the corner the whole game. Didn't really do anything at all. I still like the depth of 76ers though. I still think they're top three seed. The depth is not. Embiid still is an offensive force. That flopping is so annoying to watch, I'll tell you that much. But he's still an offensive force when he's on. You seen the spin move late in the game. That spin move when he's not getting double teamed. He still react late to the double team a lot of times. The spacing wasn't great. I know a couple plays they had where Embiid would be on a right block. And then I'll see like JB or Tatum, they'll blitz, they'll be on a nail and they'll blitz, and then it'll just be a 2-3 zone on the other side. Like they'll zone up two player versus three player for the 76ers, and it would just look, it's no spacing. The spacing wasn't great. When Harden got the ball, he just pounded him inside of the ball. The pick and roll, when they did do it with Maxey and Embiid, they got a couple good mid-range shots off of it. They got a couple good assists off of it. They stopped doing it for some reason. Embiid and Harden pick and roll wasn't as effective. There's a lot of turnovers. I know y'all seen that one play where Harden just threw the ball to Jaylen Brown. It was awful looking. And Doc Rivers got his butt right after. But it's crazy because, like, with the way Embiid was controlling the paint in the first half, the first quarter, it was expecting like 76ers going to win that game. And Boston started off slow. The offense looked stagnant. I ain't gonna say it looked stagnant. They just couldn't hit shots to begin with. And the audio, oh my God. Talk about that audio. I don't know what happened for anybody else, but the way the audio and the camera was delayed and they was cutting due to camera cut like this 2K or something, it was just awful. Yeah, that first game was awful for TNT. I don't know what was going on, or they got a new director, or they got a new camera team, but it was not looking nice. They got it kind of fixed in the second game, but some of the camera cut was still bad. But Boston, didn't start with Boston. Boston, they did their thing. Tatum had 35, JB had 35. Played good defense. Grant Williams was, I think, 6-for-6, 7-for-7. So crazy. He was hitting them three. He couldn't be stopped. He was playing good defense. He had a couple. I think he had a charge or two. He played good. Marcus Smart did his thing. Michael Brogdon is crazy. It's crazy. Michael Brogdon is a six man. That's absolutely insane. Derrick White really didn't do nothing crazy. He had a solid, good game. But everybody on AC really had a solid, good game. Noah Vonleh set some good screens out there. That's one thing I did. You know, he did get in foul trouble. Al Horford hopefully doesn't have to play center for the whole year. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully he doesn't have to play 30, 40 minutes a game. Sam Hauser, he really didn't show anything like that. But all in all, it was a good game for Boston. I liked the way they were setting screens. They was getting physical on defense. They were doing a lot of trapping in Embiid. And that length, having to deal with that length for Embiid was tough for him because I don't know if he's reacted to the double teams late or sometimes he's still trying. I seen one play, though. He did squat a double team. Like, he faced up. Somebody tried to come hit off the nail, and he just pulled up and still hit a shot with it. Or faced up, hit a double team, or hit over a double team. It was crazy. But I feel like 76ers' offense was more controlled by the Celtics' defense, as in fact where this Celtics gave up what they wanted to give up and didn't allow the 76ers to do what they want to do. It was cool with the ISO Harden 23, 22 seconds of the shot clock. And it was a lot of times with Harden with ISO for like 10, 15 seconds, then pass it up and get it right back with like 3 seconds left, 4 or 5 seconds left. It wasn't pretty to watch. I'm gonna be honest with you, it really wasn't. He still scored. He still had got buckets. Don't get me wrong. He still played made good, but it's like a lot of times it was just bad offense that was generated. And it's like Harden has more of that burst back than what he did, but you can tell he still isn't quick. He still doesn't have that quick acceleration that he used. Now, it's still the first game. People getting in shape. People getting their moves under control, stuff like that. I completely understand. But from that one, if you're just doing a reaction to one game only, and I don't like just doing reaction to one game, 5 game stretches, you want to see more that's happening. But for that one game, he just didn't look like he still had that burst yet. Like he couldn't just explode past somebody. It was like he had to use his strength and his mobility to, you know what I'm saying, bump somebody off their spot and then get to his spot type stuff. And it didn't look like he could just do. I mean, Boston, and it is Boston. Boston is a strong, strong defense team. Gonna be probably top three again, even without their coach. Probably another top three team. And clap it up for the coach. Clap it up for him, man. Clap it up for him, man. I got his first win. Only coach to be 1-0 in the league right now. Give it up to him. He held strong. The boys held strong, and they really took. It was close, but Boston really had control of the game after like the second half. I mean, after the second quarter, they had control of the game. After they came back and they went that little run, at the third quarter, they had control of the game. So give it up to him. It was just nice to see basketball back, man. Not preseason. I don't see how to watch clips of preseason highlights over and over and over and over again. Summer league, Eurobasket league. You know, Eurobasket is actually kind of nice to watch. I can't wait till next year. Does it come back next year? I don't know. Whenever it comes back, it's kind of nice to watch Eurobasketball. It's a little bit different. More team involved. More probably like Jokic and Giannis and people like that. But it's more team involved. People pass the ball around a little bit more. The game feels different. It's like, I wouldn't say it's faster, but it's like in certain instances, like it's quicker cuts, quicker to sit, like it's quicker things, like instead of spaced out, like it's more team oriented than the NBA. But that's kind of nice to watch. But I feel like Tatum put on the show, Brown put on the show, and B did his thing. He had to react to them double teams a little bit faster, but I really want to see Maxey involved in the lineup even more. And I didn't like the rotations. I don't like the rotation with Harden and Maxey on the same floor with Embiid, because I feel like I would want Maxey with Embiid doing that pick and roll and having another ball handler than having Tobias Harris and James Harden on the floor. I know defensively that's not good, but you probably can have like Daniel House, Montrezl Harrell. I mean, Montrezl is a great defender. He actually looked pretty decent though. He took Noah Vonleh off the dribble a couple times. And then maybe like PJ Tucker, Daniel House, not Shake Milton, but I don't even think Shake Milton played last night. I don't remember seeing him play. I know D'Anthony Melton was playing a lot. But honestly, you would think that make a bigger difference, but it really didn't seem like. It seemed like the addition of PJ Tucker, Daniel House, and D'Anthony Melton didn't really make no difference on defensively, because they still gave up a bunch of points, and they were still JB and Tatum. They did hit a lot of tough shots though. They hit some tough shots out there, but they were still getting to their spots and getting buckets. But I know y'all seen that one play of when Embiid fake tripped and then he almost took Marcus Smart arm off. I'll tell you this, I love Embiid. I feel like when he's on, he's the best center in the world. He's the best center in the league when he's locked in. But that flopping and that looking for foul calls all the time and all that extracurricular stuff just gets annoying to look at times. And then it exacerbates with James Harden being there looking for a foul. And I noticed they starting to call them step back threes a lot of fouls now. Even the Lakers game. They starting to call them, you running under somebody, they call them fouls, and I kind of like to see that. It was weird though, they only called a flagrant one time, and after that, it wasn't a flagrant no more. That was kind of weird, but on that snare, because I'm thinking, okay, maybe if you run under somebody now after they shoot a three, it's always going to be a flagrant. But no, it was just that one time, so that was kind of weird. Boston did give up a lot of free throws like that, which kept Philly in the game for the most part, but at the end, they pulled away, which is kind of weird. So I don't know how that's going to be like ref to other game. Maybe that was just a one-time thing, or they was testing something out, because like Harden did kick his feet out a little bit, but so we'll see how that goes. The NBA players are too smart. If they rule like that, they'll figure out how to manipulate it and make it go win their own way, so we'll see. But yeah, though, Celtics still look nice, though. I don't like their big man depth. Blake Griffin played hard. He got a couple of rebounds. Noah Vonleh is good to see him in the lead. You know what I'm saying? He hooping. But you don't want Al Horford, like I said, playing more than 32 minutes a game, really. You don't want him. You want to save him for the playoffs. Then you have, who was the other dude? Luke Kermit. Didn't see him playing. I know Gallo being out, Robert Williams being out hurts. I'm sure if somebody get hurt, they'll bring in someone else. They'll probably bring in, like, So who they had? They had Marcus Smart, Derrick White, Jason. They had Jason played for the four, I think. Yeah, because Al Horford can, for some reason, Al Horford is good versus Embiid. He just is, even with, of course, he had help. He played good versus Embiid, though. So I like to see Al Horford versus Embiid. Anyway, that's always a nice matchup to see during the league. That's always, see how, I feel like that's the only person, I ain't gonna say that's the only person that can slow down Embiid. I guess because Embiid isn't, he's quick enough to stand in front of Embiid and he's strong enough to compare. But if he get two down low in the post, yeah, of course, he's just going to shoot right over him. He's 6'10", Embiid's 7 foot. So he should 7'1", he just shoot right over. But I still, Philly still seem like they have some of the problems they had last year. Stagnant offensive, Embiid isn't cooking, or isn't cooking. It's just like they don't get the ball. Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris still, even though he did shoot 7'14", still like a little passive out there. Even though he shot better, defense wasn't all the way there. Jaylen Brown took him on the dribble a couple times, had a couple easy threes off of him. He got stuck on screens a lot. So it's going to be hard to see how that's going to match up with and who going to be guarding the main dude. I know Tucker probably going to be on the best boy in defender, of course. Then you're gonna have Maxey on like the best guard, and then you're gonna have like the second best wing. You probably have Tobias Harris on them. Then you're gonna have Harden, and you're gonna have them beat in the drop. But teams like Boston can take advantage of that. They have basically four dudes on the court at all times that can handle the ball. They're not great. Tatum can handle the ball. Brown can handle the ball. Marcus Smart can create his own shot. When you don't want him creating his own shot at the time, he can. Derrick White can create his own shot. Now off the bench, you got Malcolm Brogdon who can create his own shot. So they got five ball handlers on the team that can create their own shot. And Pritchard can do a little bit of ball handling. He's not going to create his own shot, but he can set up for other people. And he still can handle the ball. He's a guard. He can handle the ball. And they have people that can handle the ball and do that. Al Horford can do a little. He's not going to be running the offense through him, but he can pass. He's a good passer, so he can set up them opportunities. So they still are deep. They have a good team. This is the first game of the season. You can't put too much on it. Now let's get to the Lakers versus the Warriors. The defending champions, Golden State Warriors. Hey, did y'all notice that what Iggy did when Draymond was called out? Hey, LeBron, he did a little thing. That was hilarious. Not gonna lie to you, that was hilarious. Yeah. I don't know, but it seemed like when you watch, I'm sure there's other things going on behind the scenes. It might just been trying to look too much into it. But you see, like when Jordan Poole and Draymond checking game at the same time, they wasn't standing close to each other. They was far apart. Poole was like right next to the bench at the end of the announce table, and Green was in the middle. Usually teammates be right next to each other, close to each other, talking and lollygagging and stuff. Was not even close to each other. They was taking pictures. Draymond was in the middle. He was, like, on the side. Poole was always away from him. They always had somebody between, like, if they were taking a picture, Steph was between Dre and Poole. I know it's probably a little bit too much looking into it, but they was never, like, close. They was always had one person between them, or they was far apart. And with the little Iggy situation, it's like, if Iggy doing that, Iggy probably be, like, his dude, his partner, his man's, like, and when he got on, when they won the championship, he was the first person on there. Either him or Clay was the first person on there. And then he was like doing a little thing. That was what he was doing a little thing when he did that. It was crazy. Like, that's interesting. That end of the bench was looking like, man, this show, get your man's. Like, this is you doing this. You calling, you at the end of the bench calling for this, man. You laughing that hard for the opponent. We trying to beat them right now. It just, I ain't gonna lie. I would be surprised if like I said earlier in the last podcast, we see if Kuminga and we're gonna get to James Wiseman, but hey, you gonna get a Kuminga too. They keep playing so well, keep playing well, keep getting better. I wouldn't be surprised if Draymond get traded. I don't know to who. I mean, Draymond's still a great player. You've seen the passing ability. The passing ability was crazy. He had some dimes to Curry. You've seen the defense. You still seen the talking. You still seen the switchability. But if Kuminga can show something, and Wiseman can keep getting better, it might be kind of sketchy. Like that one liner they had with Poole, it was Poole and Curry. Then was Kuminga, Wiseman. I think it was Moody that was in there. It was somebody. The third dude is irrelevant. It was just between them four. I know Curry missed a shot. Wiseman get the rebound. God, then Poole pulled up, missed the rebound. What's the name? Kuminga coming for the rebound. Then Poole come off the screen, boom, hit a shot off the screen from Wiseman. It was like 3-4 position in a row with like there was him and Kuminga and Wiseman just crashing glass, getting rebounds, going crazy. It was like being havoc on defense. Yes, Kuminga had some bad plays. When I think he had one, he stepped out of bounds. I think he had a turnover, and I think Wiseman had got beat down court by Anthony Davis. But he made up for it, come back on the other end, run it down court, lay up on LeBron, got a foul on LeBron. His ability to get offensive rebounds, be a menace in the paint, he's changed a lot of shots that came down there. He did get a couple foul draws on him, but I know Russell at one point took him off the dribble and got a foul on him, but that's Russell. We're gonna get to Lakers too. We're gonna get to Lakers, and it was like they looked it nice, bro. Like the Warriors, they between the Warriors, Boston, I still think Celtics are a deep team. I still think 76ers are a deep team. Boston aren't as deep without Robert Williams, Daniel Gallinari, but they're still deep. I feel like their top seven players are still pretty nice. Then you still have those like the top two deepest teams right now. Brooklyn, depending whenever Curry and Joe Harris come back, because I think they both out right now, they'll be pretty nice. They'll be pretty nice depth. I feel like those are probably the top three deepest team. Maybe Denver, just depending on how good Jamal Murray come back and how. Yeah, but those are the deepest team. Those teams are deep. And watching them play, like, it was one point they had an all bench lineup versus the Lakers starters, basically. And I think they took a lead. Versus, I think they had a better plus minus than they did, which was crazy. And it was just nice to see that the young guys are here. Moses Moody was getting buckets. DiVincenzo, he had some bad moments, but he plays all right. He got ripped. I mean, one time he got ripped by Patrick Beverley. He had some bad turnovers, some bad shots, but it's gonna be. He's not used to being a point guard per se. I mean, he can handle. He used to be able to handle the ball and when he was with other bulky Bucks, but he wasn't a point guard. But he's more trying like, to being like a Gary Payton role. We'll see how that works. But I feel like he can ease his way into it. That offense is hard to learn. That system is hard to learn. You got Kuminga, Moody, James. Oh man, Wiseman. You see the potential Wiseman has. That his ability to run the floor, play defense, get rebounds, finish around the rim. Like before, I ain't like, I used to go up so weak around the rim. Now he's actually going up with dunks. Even though he missed one, I think it's like his first or second shot, he missed the dunk off of offensive rebound. But it's nice to see him going aggressive. Like you see him pull, like this only your first game, bro. Like you doing your thing. Like you was nice to see that as a teammate hyping him up. And Curry was Curry. Curry did his thing. Klay was hitting shots. He only played like I think 22 minutes. He didn't play a lot of minutes, but he was hitting some shots. Curry was out of his mind. Poole played like a 2K dude. Like he played like a 2K creator player. Like with the shots he take, he played. Like he got shot creator takeover on at all time. He be hooping. Draymond has some good passes. Kevon Looney set some screens. He got a couple of ticky tack fouls. I didn't really like that, but he played nice. Draymond, you know what I'm saying? He played that one. It just, I can't get it out of my head. He was doing that. That's just crazy. That was just crazy. And Draymond played nice. He played good. I keep trying to tell myself he played good, but that image of Iggy doing that while he was on the bench trying to hype up LeBron, talk to LeBron, it's just crazy to me. Like, it's like Iggy's like the main like leader on it. I ain't gonna say he's like one of the main guys on the team. You got Iggy, Dre, you know what I'm saying, Clay, the leaders of the team. And if Iggy is doing that, that's like, I understand if it was like a fan or like somebody on the Lakers was doing it, but it's Iggy. Like Iggy's like, it's Iggy, you know what I'm saying? Like that's like they captain of their team besides Draymond. It's like the cat, it's like the old guy that's still left. Like, you know what I'm saying? Sean Livingston, Zaza's and them. Now it's Iggy. He the old guy on the team. This is probably gonna be his last year. And he's doing that. That just sets a tone for the rest of the locker room that dang, that's like a bad tone setter, you know what I'm saying? Like he the one who was defending, he like still family business and all. He was defending Dre. And defending Drake, but you know what I'm saying, taking up for him and stuff like that, made it on his side, and he was doing that on the sidelines. Like that's kind of interesting. Don't you think guys, kind of interesting. But hey, let's get to Lakers. First of all, I'm gonna tell you this out. Russell played good. Yes, he had some bad misses. Yes, he had a weak air ball, but somebody else, Jordan Poole air ball. Nobody talk about that. Jordan Poole air ball. Nobody said nothing about that. He stepped out of bounds a couple times. So what? Okay, he played. He's not used to playing out the corner. It's clearly he's not used to playing out the corner. He had bad shots. He had that one dumb play where he hit the ball. Okay, yes, Russell does some dumb stuff, but he played solid. Honestly and truly, he feel like he played all the big three played solid. AD in the first quarter, first half actually was going crazy, and all of a sudden he fell back to normal. He was getting steals, getting blocks, being the turns, getting rim runs, hitting shots, face up pull ups. He was doing his thing. LeBron thought I was kind of shaky. I mean, he's like 1-for-7, 1-for-8. But he started turning up the second half. He started going crazy. He started getting locked in after he talked to Draymond. He was getting locked in, but I don't know. The Lakers do need shooting. Lonnie Walker had some good moments. He got cooked by Curry in that one play. I feel like it was good defense, though. Curry just had better offense. Kendrick Nunn was actually nice. I think he had like 4 threes. Kendrick Nunn was doing nice. They do miss having Dennis Schroeder. Do they miss having Dennis Schroeder? They have a lot of guards anyway. They got Lonnie, Russ, What's up, boy? Now, I just Kendrick. Now, they have a lot of guards to begin with. Austin Reeves had a couple good layups. Matt Ryan really didn't do nothing. I think he had like 1-3, maybe 1 or 2 threes. He really didn't do nothing like that. Thomas Bryant didn't play. Who else was a big man rotation? It was LeBron, basically. LeBron played the 4, I think. LeBron played the 4. Yeah, LeBron, AD. Who was they back with? Damian Jones didn't play. Oh, 1. Who else? Oh, Wayne Graber. He had one good block on Jordan Poole. But this team doesn't, like LeBron said, just doesn't have shooters. You got Kendrick Nunn, who shot the ball well. Lonnie Walker, he missed a couple shots. But, I mean, it's the first game. Like, you can't really trip too much about the first game. You got to just see you try to look at more of the positive aspect. You like what I said with the 76ers. Yes, Embiid had played horrible effort on defense. That's one thing you don't, that's, okay, talking about missing shots is different, but effort in the first game of the season, that's kind of different. Nah, it's somebody just playing bad, missing shots, getting dumb turnovers, ball 7 out of their hands, stuff like that. That's cool. But effort, nah, you don't want to see bad effort in the first game. It's not like this game 55 and you playing, let me see if I think it was Utah, and you know what I'm saying, you on a roll, you after a back-to-back, okay, cool, I can understand you not going to give as much effort as you usually do. But the first game of the season, you just not giving effort? That's weird. Like, that's not normal. Like, that's something, that is a mentally physical system problem that they need to work on over there in Philly. But I like the effort the Lakers, yeah, they tried to come back on them in the first quarter. I like the effort they gave, but it just wasn't enough. One thing was weird though, in the middle of the, like, at the end of the comeback, I mean, I know Anthony Andrew Wiggins had like hit like 2 threes in a row. Yeah, they took LeBron out, but they left all the other starters in. That was kind of weird. That's like, dang, you just gave up on your team like that. I don't know if that was the coach thing, LeBron thing. I don't know what that was, but that was interesting to me. Patrick Beverly had some ISO that was just weird, blew my mind, made my head hurt, I'm be honest with you. Like, yeah, I'm really thinking about that now. I got a headache thinking about that. Them Patrick Beverly ISOs, he fouled out like, he got fouled like crazy. But when he was in, he did make an impact. He had a couple good steals, like I mentioned earlier. He had poked Dante. Yeah, he had made a couple good plays, had some rebounds. You know what I'm saying? He made. But I feel like the Lakers, which a lot of people didn't notice, is like, I feel like Russell had a bit plus minus, by the way. The offense, like, it ran better when Russell had the ball. I'm gonna be honest, like when Russell was doing pick and roll with AD, like the offense was actually sufficient and actually was running like a smooth, well operation. When Russell actually was doing things, not just sitting in the corner or having to be put in predicaments where his, I'm trying to see how I can word this, his mind wanders and he just starts not leaking out, but like you just start like combusting. It's like that's when bad opportunity. Like, yes, I mean, I feel like the first layup he had missed, but you seen like once he got more comfortable, once he got more ready, and once he started being around the elbow, started working, I feel like he started playing better. He had a couple tough layups on Curry, on Clay, on James Wiseman, got a couple fouls on people. He had that and one. Like, he was working, like, he was putting in work. And I feel like people just was really just looking at Twitter than watching the game. Like I said, he has some dumb plays, he has some mental mistakes. Everyone had mental mistakes. You seen what LeBron did that pass to AD? Like, what was that on both ends? LeBron just lollygagged it, and AD just said, oh, okay, let me reach for it. And then just didn't go for it. And B threw that, he was coming out the court through that last gazelle bounce pass, which just got picked off. Was it Jaylen Brown? I think it was Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. I can't remember. I think it was Jason Tatum who had picked it off. Nobody talked about that. It's like, it's a lot of bad plays that other people did in these games. Like, they only focus on what Russell doing bad. I just hate that so much because he actually was hooping out there. Like, I can understand doing bad when he's just playing bad. Cool. Completely understand. Completely reasonable. Completely rational. But when he's playing good, you not talking about the good stuff he's doing. He's getting all, he had one position, he got back-to-back offensive rebounds, and nobody could hit nothing. And then he airballed. Cool. He hustled. He deserved to get that shot off. He was getting assists. He was playing, he had a couple steals at the end of the game. He was playing aggressive defense. Cool. Nobody will talk about that. I just hate how people, the media wants to just harp on this man so bad when he does something bad. Like, he's just not, like, every hooper in the world. Like, when you're not at your job, you don't do bad stuff. When you're not walking around the street, you don't stub your toe sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But Lakers do need shooters badly. They need better big man rotation as well. They need some forwards. Now, would I still have traded Russell Westbrook for Kyle Kuzma, KCP, and a two first or one first? I can't remember. And whoever else they gave up? No. Would I have re-signed Alex Caruso? Yes. But hey, that's the Lakers. Let them do what they do. Oh, they still tank for Victor Wayne. Oh, they can't even get Victor Wayne bought. Hey, imagine they suck this year again. Like, imagine, hopefully they don't. Embiid, I'm not Embiid, but AD or LeBron get hurt. And they suck. And then if it ever when Bob would go to the Pelicans, that would be, or even Scoot Henderson go to the Pelicans, that would be crazy. People, Scoot is great. Don't get me wrong. Scoot is going to go crazy. But hey, man, say, man, hey, man, that's the end of the video. Let me, end of the podcast. Let me know what y'all think. All right.
Don't forget, like, share, comment, send voice messages. And don't forget to go to my YouTube. It's going to be in the description. Hey, Orlando, don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe, all that to that. Don't forget to go to Instagram if you want to join the podcast on special guest Sundays or Mondays. Don't forget to go Southside Apparel, shop for merch. All right, we y'all on. All right, I'll catch up with y'all.